Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Is your siding looking old and outdated? Give your home the makeover it deserves with James Hardie Siding from Thompson Creek, the number one brand in America. Thompson Creek, powered by James Hardie, offers endless design possibilities with vivid colors and unique styles that elevate your home's look. Plus, it's low maintenance and UV resistant for lasting beauty. With special financing from Thompson Creek, upgrading is easier than ever. Act now and Thompson Creek will install your entire siding project without installation costs. Schedule an in-home or virtual consult today at thompsoncreek.com.
Welcome to the Expressway. I am your co-host, Charles, show me the way with my partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Teller. And we're here for another jam-packed, exciting The Expressway show where we take you on a journey of the world of sports, specifically New York sports, as well as the New York Giants and New York Jets. It's a great and exciting week for those two teams as we will look at their potential picks when they come up in the first round. I'm excited about that. I'm also excited about our second quarter, where we actually will dive into the potential picks and give you our expert opinion on who we think we should draft out of the possible candidates left on the board. Also, in our third quarter, we got something exciting for you guys. We're going to be talking about who has the best fan base in New York. Is it the Knicks? They had a great crowd at Madison Square Garden. Everybody was so excited to end the playoff drought, and the fan base, all the fan base came out. The who's who of New York were back out in action. Everybody was at the game. Everybody wanted to be seen. So my question to everyone out there is, who has the best fan base in New York? As well as the fourth quarter, we're going to talk about NBA. NBA action is slamming. I mean, who would have thunk it? The Knicks are up 3-1, having a chance to advance to the second round. Who would have thunk it? LeBron James is running rampant over the Sacramento Kings and Dylan Brooks. It's some exciting. And what about Atlanta and Boston, the Boston Seas? Well, we got a lot to talk about. I can't wait to hit that segment. But first, we got to talk about what we've been talking about every week we've been on the show, BT. And it's finally happened. Aaron Rodgers is a New York Jet.
And I am so excited. I mean, really. And to be honest with you, you know, we've both been in New York, New Jersey a long time. And the Jets have never won anything since we've been here. And both of us do banquets and speaking engagements with ex-Jet players and stuff like that. And I want them to win. And this is the first time probably since Bill Parcells was the coach of the Jets and they went to the AFC Championship years ago, that I think they have a legitimate chance, because I think Rodgers was hurt a little bit last year with his thumb. And I think he's excited too to come to New York, because he's having press conferences and things like that. So I'm excited for the Jets. And if they can really bring a new level of funness to the New York Jet and the New York area, I think it's outstanding. So I'm excited that he's here.
Yeah, my question, do you think they gave up too much? I know there's a debate saying that they gave up a second and a sixth and another first, potentially, if he plays more than 65% of the games. What do you think? Do you think they gave up too much?
Definitely not. And the reason is because it's been shown that every team, in order to get to the playoffs, or you look at the teams that are already in the playoffs, the thing about them, they all have in common great quarterbacks. And look at the quarterback of Kansas City. You can go Buffalo quarterback Josh Allen. You can even go Lamar Jackson of Baltimore, let alone the quarterback for Los Angeles Chargers, Herbert. And if you don't have a good quarterback, I don't think you can make it. At the beginning of this year, I said something like, if Danny Jones leads the Giants to the playoffs, he might be owned in New York. And right now he seems to be really getting a lot of positive publicity. So I'm excited. And I don't think if you win the Super Bowl or if you get to the Super Bowl, Charles Wade, I don't see how they can say you gave up too much, because these New York Jet fans, they've been suffering a long time since Joe Namath in 1969, as last time the Jets were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They've been close a lot of times. Parcells had gotten them close that one year, but they've never actually been to the Super Bowl. And really, this is probably the best shot they have. They have a complete defense. They got a great offense. They got skilled position players that are dynamic and can make big plays and they can score points. And hopefully if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, and that's a big if, because he has taken a beating the last couple of years. And I think that's why they put the 65% condition on the trade, that you only get his first round pick if he plays more than 65% of the game, thinking that if they can win at least 9-10 games, they get into the playoffs. So I think from a trade perspective, it was an outstanding trade for both teams. And what I'm seeing now is that how does he mesh with those young boys, right? Those young guys in that locker room. That's my main concern, because he doesn't seem like he's a guy. He's old. He's a grumpy old man, right? And so he's like that grandfather type who doesn't have a filter anymore and says, hey, I'm about to die in a few years, so I'm going to say how I feel instead of have a filter. And that's how he seems when he was at Green Bay. And that could have been a component of him not wanting to be there any longer and not having the pieces around him he thought. But hopefully he can come into that locker room, that young locker room, and be a good presence and not a grandfather figure. What do you think?
Well, see, I think Tom Brady set the tone. He goes to Tampa Bay, wins the Super Bowl his first year after having so many years in New England. A number of years ago, Brett Favre came to the Jets, and I think they were really doing well. They were like 8-3, and then he hurt his shoulder, and that really kind of took their playoff hopes down the drain on this one. I think that Aaron Rodgers is probably a better fit than Brett Favre was that many, many years ago. And I think that if he comes and bonds with his receivers and tight ends, and when I say bond, I see a lot of quarterbacks, even a quarterback in Kansas City, take the receivers to the Bahamas and practice down there until they get it straight. If he can do something like that, which I think he can, because I think his salary this year is $59 million, one of the highest paid players in all of the NFL. And he can afford to rent a private jet, take them somewhere where it's warm, and let them kind of get everything in order. And you know yourself, which I even hate to admit, Charles, you got to practice in the NFL if you want to be good. And it takes a series of just really having it so down that if you get dinged in the head, you still can run your route. So that's what I'm looking to see if he does. They say that he's got that in mind. He's going to come to some of the offseason programs. He's going to do a good job in the mini camp. If that's true, he's already kind of familiar with the offense, because Hackett was his offensive coordinator in Green Bay a few years back. And they say the terminology of his offense is good enough right now that he probably knows most of it. So I think he's got a head start. And I think that's one of the reasons he picked the Jets to come to.
Yeah, or the Jets set it up so that he would be more willing to come to it. I think that was the benefit of the Hackett signing, and hopefully that relationship kind of blossoms and carries over to the young core group that they have.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
On that offensive side of the ball, I think the one thing that I have a concern with is we all have our ups and downs throughout the football season. And being in a New York market, they can't wait for you to have a down a down period in the season. And so how do you think he's going to handle the New York media, given his past experiences with the Green Bay media, which isn't nearly as bad as the New York media?
Well, I know when I was covering games, I went down to Green Bay to cover a game. And There were no hotels at all because most of the people are not from Green Bay. And they all commute to the games. So I had to go back to Milwaukee to get a hotel. But I think that because of his experience and being in the league, he's been in the Super Bowl one time. He's seen the media at the Super Bowl, which is kind of like a New York thing. I think he's going to be all right there because he never really says anything terrible like Zach Wilson did last year for the Jets, talking about he didn't think it was possible or whatever. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said something negative against was it his fault? And the quarterback has got to take the blame, and he gets the credit when they win. So I think that once they get everything together, and that comes in training camp, even they don't hit a lot in training camp or play hard during the exposition season, I think he's going to be outstanding. I'm looking for him to lead the Jets up to the top right away. And by doing that, you start with the first game. You get off on the first game, and you take it a game at a time. And if they can go into the division, like with a 5-0 start or something like that, that builds momentum for that young team. Their defense is young. They're good enough to be a playoff defense. All they need is for the offense to be able to take time off the clock to give them a rest.
No, that's awesome. I totally agree with you. You're listening to the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Teller and Charles Show Me the Way. Oh, now there's some news about Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley said he's not even worried about signing a contract because it's early. So he have time. So don't stress him out and keep asking him questions about when are you going to sign your tender or when are you going to have a negotiation with Joe Shane or your team? Is your representative talking about contract extension? He said not to worry about it, but I have to worry because the longer he waits, I think the worst position he puts himself in, can he sign that $15 million deal? Is he going to sit out? And by making this sort of, or by posturing like this, the pressure shifts, not on Joe Shane, but on him, because now no one else is signing you. You got all of these draft running backs coming into the league. And if someone just starts to be a standout and you sit out, they may think that they may not even need you and spend that $10 to $15 million you're looking for. So I'm hoping that Saquon rethinks this and tries to get his representative to talk to the Giants and discuss contract extension.
I'm trying to put myself in Saquon Barkley's, in his mindset, because, you know, when your contract is up and then you've done a good job, you had 1,300 yards last year, you expect them to kind of meet you halfway. And to only offer you a one-year contract, as meaningful as you were for your team this past season, leading them to the playoffs, really a big factor in Danny Jones's development and doing well and success. I think he has a reason to be upset. But either way, I think he made $7 million last year. So even if he goes to 10, 12, he's getting a big raise anyway. So and maybe he was thinking, you know, like McCaffrey kind of money, maybe 3 years, $45 million, something like that. But I think that a one-year contract doesn't offer you a lot of leeway or respect or whatever. And I think that he feels a little bit disrespected. And I kind of feel for him because, you know, he's a team player. He's a great guy in the locker room. He's a team. He's just really one of the guys that comes up to everybody and kind of gets them going during the course of the game. So I like him tremendously, and I think he's perfect fit for the New York Giants right now. And I think they should kind of meet him halfway if they can.
I think they're trying. I think they're if you believe reports, which you can't always believe, but I think they offered him anywhere between the $10 and $12 million range before they franchise tagged him. And so I think based on the market and based on a recent list that there was another radio show, and they were going through the top 10 first round running backs, yep, and how successful they were. There were probably only one or two out of in the past 20 years of running backs that have gone in the first 10, for the top 10 picks that made it to the Super Bowl. And the two or three that made it to the Super Bowl, only one was with its original team, and that was Marshall Faulk. Wow. And so you look at the history of running backs in the NFL and their impact on the team, and based off of that minute study, it doesn't lend a lot of credence to giving the running back a ton of money.
Well, see, I'm always going to support the running backs. I mean, I played with Marcus Allen of the Raiders, and they went to the Super Bowl when he was there, and he got MVP in the Super Bowl. I think you have to have a running back to succeed in the NFL, because if you drop back 50 times a game, the defense is going to figure out some way to get to you, because they got great edge rushers. Everybody has a good one. Everybody's looking for somebody to rest the quarterback. And some of your best athletes are playing defensive end now, along with, the big defensive tackles inside. So I think that they're disrespecting the running back by not giving them the money, because receivers have gone up 15% as far as being paid. Left tackles are being paid more. And I just think the running back does so much for a team. If you get a good one like Saquon Barkley, I think you should take care of him. Maybe some of the other running backs are not as good. And I understand that they're getting hurt. McCaffrey's getting hurt, different things like that. But I think what the running back does, if he's a full-time running back and can stay on the field for all three downs, pass and run, then I think you got to take care of him. And I feel Saquon is in that category.
Well, I got to respectfully disagree. as a personnel guy, it's really about managing your team and making sure you can distribute the money the right way. So you're distributing money to the impact position. I agree with you. Running back is an important position, but we've seen young guys come in and do a great job or an admirable job and be just as effective, i.e. Zeke Elliott. Todd Gurley is no longer in the league, and he was a beast when he played. So the only running back that probably has over 8 years and still playing and still running 1,000 yards is Travis Henry.
Yep, you're right. But I think that the University of Texas has a guy named Bijan Robinson. Is that his name?
Yep.
He is in the league with Saquon Barkley, because I watch him turn the corner. I watch him put. So what I did look at is when you're in the hole, can you make people miss? Because nobody's going to block everybody. And some of you have to do on your own. And that's when the greatness of the running back comes in. And this guy is I would take him in the first round because of his home run ability. I mean, he can hit it and be gone 80. And I think Saquon can do the same thing. So I have to disagree with you, too.
Breaking news. And this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Because certain running backs deserve to be paid according to what percentage they do for their teams. And I don't know what the percentage of Saquon is, but it's got to be at least 33% of the offense. And you probably know more than I do that he's helping the Giants. So if he was 20% or 15%, I could see maybe not giving him the money. But I guarantee, and I'm just guessing, that he's at least 33% of the offense.
Well, we got to continue this discussion. This is a hot topic, but we got a lot to do. We got to actually get into our own war room and talk about who are we going to pick if we were with the Jets or the Giants, and discuss the potential picks that are left on the board for us. And we got a great segment coming up here in the second quarter, but we will be right back after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles Way with my partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We are here. Had a great, great last segment. We were talking about running backs and if they should get paid. We continue to talk about that. We both are running backs and we both want our running backs to get paid, but I just don't know. But we're going to table that until next week, because I got a lot to get off of my chest. I still think Saquon should have taken the $12 million if it was on the table, because running backs aren't treated the same anymore. But needless to say, we are going into the Giants war room. I got the GM, Billy Taylor, and I'm going to be the pro scouting director, and we're going to have a conversation about who we should pick. We got two guys on the board. It's at the Giants' 25th pick. Two guys are on the board. We got the receiver, Quentin Johnston, from TCU, and the quarterback from Michigan. And so DJ Turner. And so we got to make a decision based off of these guys. So let's look at the clip and talk about the pros and cons of selecting this guy at the receiver, understanding the needs of the Giants. We've talked about it for weeks, BT. The wide receiving core lacks the big, big dude. We just got rid of the guy that we don't want to name that had a terrible season last year.
Kenny Galladay?
But we need a big receiver, and I think Johnston provides that big, big receiver that we need, because we got a bunch of short receivers, quick receivers. I think Johnston is that big play dude that we're looking for. If he's available at this pick.
Well, see, if you think about what the Giants have done already, they signed their quarterback. They got that out of the way, helped out with cap room for the future. Now you got to bring in people that's going to make him get better. And I think Quentin can definitely do that. He can stretch the field. He can get those 50-50 balls when the quarterback throws it up. And I think the newest thing in the NFL is throwing it over the back shoulder, because that takes – the defensive back really has no room for error. I mean, people pay big money to see the defensive back get beat. And it's really a tough position. I think it's one of the toughest ones in the NFL. But I just think – because of what the Giants have done with Danny Jones, they have to get a receiver in this draft. They might as well get the first one, because in the first round, and get that kind of out of the way, and maybe get somebody else later in the round. But they need people who can help them make first downs. And I think Quentin from is he from TCU? Is that right?
Yeah, TCU.
I think that he played in a good competition last year. Seems like he has good hands. I don't like receivers when they catch the ball in their chest. I like them to reach out and get it, because it shows you have good hands. And I just think that he would be an outstanding fit for Danny Jones, because sometimes Danny Jones is not accurate. And to help with that, you get a receiver who can catch the ball in his hands, reach back, reach down, reach up. And I think Quentin would be an excellent pick for the Giants.
Yeah, I think the cons is that he does it. I think he's more like a Plexico and a Monty Toomer. Mm-hmm. Like he's not very quick. He's more physical than quick. And he could potentially get stuck on DBs, but he does make those big plays like those two guys have done in the past. I just don't – what my concern or worry is that he's not flashy. Like, he's deceptively good. Imani wasn't flashy. If you saw – I can tell you a story. When Imani got drafted, Dan Reeves hated Imani because he was walking around. He was walking to every drill, and it seemed like he was jogging. He wasn't going up and getting balls. I mean, Dan Reeves did not like Imani. I think he wanted to fight Imani at one time, one day in practice. But Imani is so deceptively good that he makes those big plays, and it doesn't look like he's moving, but he made plays. And Plexico is almost the same way. Plexico had those games where, man, are you good? I mean, what are you doing? And then he has these games where, man, this is why we picked you. It's like it's like deception. And that's how I see Johnston is. He's a deceptively good running back, a wide receiver. I don't know. I don't think he's like Kenny Galladay.
No, he couldn't be. No.
I hope he's not like Kenny Galladay. I hope he's not like Kenny Galladay. But I like him, but there is some concern. And do you pick somebody that has warts, as a lot of my fellow scouts would say, who has warts that you're concerned about, like breakaway or getting away from the defender and creating space that you need as a receiver, especially now today's, a lot of these DBs are smaller and more physical. And if they don't keep you on the line of scrimmage, they don't have a chance to win. So they're being taught now to make sure you don't get off the line of scrimmage. So my concern is, does he have the hand quickness and the physicality to beat these DBs now?
Well, I think he does. I've seen him on film a couple of times. We show some highlights right here. But see, the thing I look at is, can you run a route? like Kenny Golladay, and I'm not trying to say anything bad. I watched him in Detroit with Matt Stafford, and there was never separation. Never. I mean, very rarely did I see a defensive back, from a distance. Everything was right there, and he was able to make the play because of him being larger than most people. Quentin Johnson, I think he runs a good route. And I think he'll get better with good teaching. The Giants have some of the best teachers in the game. I think that's why they've had success. If he can learn how to run a route, make every route look the same, and use his head fakes in and out, because you've seen receivers who do that, that creates a distance between him and the defensive back, and that gives Danny Jones room for error. Because in the NFL, you see that so often that there's no room for error. If you don't put that ball on the money like Brady and even Aaron Rodgers does sometimes, when there's no room for error, if you don't have that, you got to have a receiver who can run a good route.
That's right, and I agree with you. We just actually saw a video of our next guy who should be available, and that's DJ Turner, cornerback from Michigan. Great, great ball skills. I think he's a little short. He's not 6 foot. I think now you want guys, especially if you're playing cornerback nowadays, you want guys at least 6'1", 6'2", taller DBs, quicker, more physical. Obviously, because they are more involved in a run game, you can't touch the players as much. And so you want to have that length so that they got to get around you. A lot of bigger arm, wingspan, what have you. So when you look at DJ Turner, I love his ball skills. I love his physicality off the line of scrimmage. He does have the quickness to do damage on receivers, but I think he may be just a little too short to be effective, but he's a great, great, great defender and may be a good pick. What do you think about that at this pick?
Well, I think he's a great athlete. And that's the thing, you want an athlete to play defensive back who can possibly be a shutdown corner. Mel Kiper, the draft guru, says he is the fastest defensive back in the college ranks right now. If that's true, that gives him room to make up space. If somebody beats him, he can get back quickly. And he's got good hands. You see that highlight we just showed of him? He's got good hands. And my dad used to tell me a long time ago, the reason people play defensive back because they can't play receiver because they can't catch. So I see him being able to catch the ball very well, have closing speed, and he's pretty tough. You got to be tough to play defensive back. But the main thing is that you're around the receiver because they don't give much time. But I think DJ would be a great fit for the Giants if he's around at that time. But I think they need to get a wide receiver first.
Yeah, especially since that whole wide receiver core, the talented ones are coming off the injured reserve. You got Shepherd, you got Wandale Robinson, both coming back from major injuries. So you really don't have a go-to receiver. You do have Waller, the tight end, which is a hybrid tight end, and hopefully becomes a great weapon for Daniel Jones. But you do still need that one stud wide receiver that I don't think they have. And if there is one at number 25 to pick, I think they would probably be best to pick him up. If there isn't one, you don't reach for a receiver, I don't think, at this pick. And then that's where DJ Turner or another DB or linebacker may kind of fall to them that they could pick up.
Well, see, the thing that I look at is, like, you look at different teams. I look at Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles. They surrounded him with outstanding talent, and it helped his game to blossom. I think Danny Jones needs that too, because if you think about it, you know, he didn't really have a go-to receiver last year. And that's a tough situation, because if his third is, say, less than six, you know, you should be able to have confidence in someone is going to get the yardage necessary for a first down. So I think they have to go wide receiver. Otherwise, you know, it's going to hurt Waller, the new tight end they got from the Raiders, because they're going to double and triple team him, take him out of the game. But if you got receivers on both sides, that means you can't double people. You got to be either play a zone or figure out some way to do it. So I'm really thinking and hoping the Giants go for a wide receiver. But then again, they may look at someone else that we hadn't seen, because as I was telling somebody the other day, CW, if you play for a Timbuktu in East Czechoslovakia, if you're good, they can find you with ESPN and Fox and all the scouts that are out there. If you're good, they will find you.
They found Jerry Rice, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yep. there you go.
There you go. So, I mean, so those are some great examples of guys that that the Giants have potential chance to pick in at number 25. Let's turn our attention to the Jets. we talked about this a few weeks ago and we talked about it last week. Now that they got Aaron Rodgers, they need to shore up their offensive line. So I don't think there is no question in my mind at number 13, they'll pick, or number 15, they'll pick an offensive lineman. It's just which offensive lineman do you think they should pick up at this position, you know? And just, it actually just came across the wire. I'm just reading it now that they may even go with Najigba, the receiver from Ohio State at number 15, if he's there, which surprises me because they already have a wealth of talent at receiver. Why, what's the reason? Tell me the reason why, before we get into these offensive line projections, tell me the reason why you would go after Najigba. Is he that much of a talent where you don't want to pass up on a Michael Jordan?
Well, see, I think that as you come down to the draft and the weeks before and time leading up to it, people put out false images. And you all know that, Charles. They don't want to show their hand, just like in poker. There's no question I think the Jets are going offensive line. And the reason I think so is because you got Rodgers in here now. You got to protect Rodgers. Rodgers has proven if he has time to throw and you take care of him, he's going to get the ball where it's supposed to be. So I would definitely look at the Broderick Jones of Georgia. I was watching him on film. He's a mean, a nasty offensive lineman. And that's what I like to see, that doesn't have any kind of fear at all. Will tell you that he's coming and then go kick your behind. And I think Broderick Jones is that kind of guy. At Georgia is almost like a mini NFL. They had 15 players drafted last year. I don't know how many are going to be drafted this year, but you watch him play, and I can see him on the Jets on the other side. Last week we talked about Peter Skoronski, and he's one of the best guards in the whole college aspect. So I think the Jets going at 15, used to be 13, but they had to switch with Green Bay. I think they definitely will get an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I think when you look at Broderick Jones and you talk about Peter Skoronski, all of these guys are looked to be picked within the top 10, top 15 picks in the draft. I don't know. I think Peter Skoronski's draft grade, his stock is rising a little bit. He may be actually a top 10 pick. And you got Paris Johnson is another guy that everybody's been talking about as a guy that is a potential top 15, top 10 pick. So out of all the three of those guys, you can't lose at the O-line position. I'm hoping, and I think the Jets are hoping, that Mekhi Becton, everybody is raving about his body and what he's done over the past few years, about what he's done just to lose weight and to be healthier and hopefully not be impacted by all these injuries he had last year. So you already got Mekhi Becton. If he can come back and you can add another critical piece to the offensive line out of any of those three guys, I think you win as a Jets fan and coach.
You're listening to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We're on each and every week talking about the world of sports. We just finished two quarters talking about the Jets and the Giants and the upcoming draft, what they should do. We got a great segment coming up in just 1 second in the third quarter. We're going to talk about who has the best fan base in New York. New York has got all kinds of stuff. Is it the Jets? Is it the Giants? Is it the Knicks, the Nets, the Islanders, the Rangers? You help us decide that. So don't move a muscle. We're right back with more on The Expressway after these messages.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Expressway, Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We call it the Expressway because Charles picked out the name because they called him Charles Show Me the Way, Way, because he used to show the running backs that used to play for the Giants how to get in the hole and just kill people in the hole. And they used to call me the BT Express. So Charles named it the Expressway. And we come on each and every week talking the world of sports. Today, we're going to talk about who has the best fan base in New York. And I have been to all the stadiums, Yankees, Mets, Islanders, Rangers, Devils, the Jets and the Giants. And Charles Way, how many have you been to? And who do you think has maybe the boldest, the brightest, the loudest in New York?
I think based off of last week's game at Madison Square Garden with the Knicks, you would think that they had the best fan base. But I think that was because they have been dying to go to a playoff game. They just didn't know how to contain themselves. So I think that is a misrepresentation of Knicks fans, even though Knicks fans are more fanatical. But that may be a misrepresentation of Knicks fans. I have yet to go to a hockey game. So I'm still waiting to go to Rangers, Islanders. But they say the hockey games get pretty intense. You've been to the hockey game. Are they pretty intense?
Absolutely. The Rangers won the Stanley Cup in 1994 with Mark Messier, and they gave them a parade down Canyon Hall of Fame in New York. And there were ladies crying. People said they would cut off their right arm to win, and that's too deep for me. But I have to disagree with you on one thing, Charles Way. I have been, I think ever since I was a player, and you're talking years ago, I would get tickets to the Garden to watch the Knicks. And even when Patrick Ewing was playing, there's a buzz when you come into that building. It is the mecca, Charles Way, of all basketball places to play. And I would love to be in that atmosphere. And did you feel it when the Knicks played last week for the first time in a long time? Did you feel the buzz even when you were watching on TV?
I did. No, you can't beat the environment. When I went, being from Philly, you hate everything about New York, right? You don't want them to be better. You're like New York's little stepbrother. But when you walk into a Garden, it's different. It's like you're going to watch a Broadway play, right? Because the lights are off, and it's just all the lights are right on the court and nothing else even matters. And then you got all these stars lined courtside around the whole arena. It's just an amazing environment. I agree. The environment itself, but we're talking about fan base, but the environment itself kind of eludes excitement, euphoria. I was around when the Charles Smith days and the Patrick Ewing and the Mark Jackson, I was around those days when it was exciting and everybody was going crazy and the Garden was jumping, and it's similar. But take it to a football perspective, this is the the Giants and Jets have a stereotype, right?
Yep.
The Giants are more laid back, older crowd, more sophisticated. They get excited in a different way, right? But the Jets fans, and I think it's because they've been wanting a winning team for so long, they got to find something to get excited about. So when they win, especially that time when Parcells was around, it seemed like this was a Jets town. All of the Jets fans were coming out of the woodwork. You're like, how many Jets fans are there? Right? They got these undercover Jets fans. And it was an exciting time. You don't remember this. Well, I don't know if you do. Remember at Giants Stadium? Do you remember around the walkways, the ramps, they had the little, these little curtains around the walkways?
Yep.
Do you know why they had the curtains around the walkways?
Because what?
Because at the Jets games, not at the Giants games, but at the Jets games, it was like they were in Mardi Gras. So they were the fans at the bottom of the ramp were telling the ladies, lift your shirt up, lift your shirt up. And the ladies were lifting their shirts up. And this was at the Jets game. So it's a different crowd, right? It's like the unsophisticated, the recluse of the recluses. Type of fan. But I think the Jets, if they win, you'll see some real, 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 real exciting times at MetLife Stadium.
Well, the Giants Stadium at MetLife opened in 2009. And I've had season tickets probably since, I don't know, maybe 2002. And when they went to the new stadium, they lost a lot of their crowd because of the money and that tax situation that they did. They have younger people. And then now you have older people watching the Giants who really kind of cheer like they're at the tennis match. And see, that's why I'm not putting down our team, the Giants. Yeah. It's just that they have a different crowd base. They don't exude the team at the very beginning unless something happens. And the Jet fans, when I even went to, I took my little boy to a game, they got that guy, Fireman Ed, who is a J-E-T-S. And I don't like him, but he gets the crowd going. And right. If the Jets win, they could probably really take over New York. But it's going to be an interesting year, Charles Way, with the Jets and the Giants both competing for the playoffs. And this is exactly how New York is supposed to be. The Yankees and the Mets are playing well. The Yankees are the same thing. They don't have a loud crowd. They're kind of laid back a little bit unless something happens. The Mets have a younger crowd. They get pretty loud, but I'm still – and the Nets – they're almost a second fiddle because really they don't, a lot of people don't even cheer at the games when they're there. Even when the Brooklyn Nets or the New Jersey Nets were in the game. So that's a tough one, but who would you finally give your number one to?
Yeah, you got to think about it. The Yankees are close second to the
Giants.
To the Knicks, because think about it. And the bleacher section at Yankee Stadium, they get pretty rowdy. I heard somebody told me a story. If you don't know the chants in the section, they hurt you. They like beat you up. They throw beer on you. And they like, get out of here. So that's pretty intense back there, right? So if you don't know the chants in Yankee Stadium in that bleacher section, it's like, man, you better run for your life. So that's pretty intense. So the Yankee crowd, the Yankee fan base, that may be something to talk about as well.
Yeah, I've been out there, but I think since they got the new stadium, and because, you know, when they first got the new stadium, they were charging unbelievable prices for behind home plate. I think it was like $2,500 a game or something. And the Knicks charge that a game, but they get...
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Every week, you know, Spike Lee pays that $4,000 for his two seats to sit at courtside. It's mostly one of the most expensive tickets in the whole United States, except for maybe the Los Angeles Lakers. But I just think that New York has the best flavor. I mean, you got a flavor of everything, and everybody has something to say about where they like to go. It just depends how much you like it. But from an outsider looking in, and I look at all of them, I still like the Knicks. And one of the reasons I met Walt Frazier, who does the color commentator for the Knicks. I used to see his suits he wears, but he said when they won the championship back in 1973 that the New York fans were the greatest. Because you think about it, they know the sport. And think about when you have fans that know the sport, they know how to be quiet when you're at the free throw line. They know how to get your team doing well on defense. And I love the chant of defense, especially in a basketball sense. So I'm a little bit prejudiced because I've met some of the used to be stars of the Knicks. And I just think the Knicks, to me, I have the best fan base because they come win or lose. There's no down period. Even when they were terrible, they would sell out. So that's a big ticket in New York, and that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, what amazes me is that having so many professional teams in one market and having as many fans as each team has, it has enough really to pack their entire venue, all of their venues, right? You can get a sellout crowd for the Jets. You can get a sellout crowd for the Giants. You can get a sellout crowd for the Brooklyn Nets. You can get a sellout crowd for the Knicks. And even the same for Rangers, the Devils. I mean, look at the Devils. I mean, they've had success. They've won championships.
Yep.
Right. And so you look at the Islanders and the Rangers and all of those teams and our baseball teams. I think the bottom, if you had to rank like the teams, I think the Mets, just because, and they've won championship. I think the Met fan base, if when they win, they are ridiculous, right? It's the same thing with the Jets. I think the Mets and Jets are the same. Like, because when they have success, the fan base is ridiculously crazy.
Yep. Right?
And so I think it's just because their futility is why they don't get as much credit as having a good fan base, because they haven't won recently. But when they win, being a Mets fan must be fun when you're winning, because they're just as obnoxious as the Jets fans when they win.
Well, Charles, I agree with you on that. But the only thing I don't agree with you is now the Mets got a new ownership in the guy Cohen. He's spending money. You have an owner in baseball that's spending money. He's going to get you players at the right time. So this year, the Mets and the Yankees are going to have good teams, and look for the Mets to kind of give a little bit more flavor in that. And when they play each other later this summer, it's really a wild game. I mean, these fans go crazy. You have a husband and wife saying one is a different fan of each team. So I just think New York has so much to offer. I know you're from Philly, but I've been to Philly a lot of times. They got crazy fans, but I don't think it's anything like New York.
Well, I think it's a little bit more fanatical.
Yes, there you go. Crazy.
Yeah, because that's all they live for. You don't have 20 teams, 20 professional sports teams to hang out and root for, right? You only have four, and you live and die by those four. So that's why when you remember going to Philadelphia Eagles games and having to play at the Vet, they throwing eggs at the bus. I had a woman moon us as we were driving up. I'm like, are you kidding me? What is going on? So, and there's always fights at the games.
Always,
right? That's why they had to put a jail at the Vet, because they had to process them there because there were so many fights. So when you look at Philly is a different animal. Even Boston is the same way.
Yep.
They got crazy fans up there too. It's just that I just think sports in the Northeast in general, once you get past the Mason-Dixon line, sports in the Northeast, you got Boston, New England area sports, Philly sports, and New York sports. The fan bases are ridiculous. I don't think they are. The fan bases in the Northeast is second to none, because they know their sports. They are critical of their athletes and their coaches and their management. And when you come to coach or play in the Northeast, you better have thick skin or you won't make it.
And see, that reminds me of my one story of Philadelphia. You know, when I used to do your games, I went down there early and the people start drinking early because I didn't like Philadelphia in the beginning. But then my friend Beasley Reese, who's a former New York Giant, was a broadcaster there. Philly's got a great place to eat. They got great eating places, got a lot of nice people. But when they come to that game, they transform themselves into some crazy people, because if you wore an opposing jersey, whether it's the Giants or Dallas or whatever, somebody's going to approach you and do something to you because they're mad that you brought that in their stadium.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've seen more than one fight break out as we were leaving the bus. So if Philly is a tough place, I kind of shake my head to my hometown about that, but I'm happy to be from Philly. They are crazy fans. And our next segment, we're talking about a Philly sports team that has a chance based on what's in plan, may make it to the NBA finals. But you're listening to the Expressway with Charles Show Me the Way and the BT Express Billy Taylor. We will be back with our next segment where we talk about the crazy NBA playoff. We will be right back in a minute. Welcome back to the Expressway. We've just been through three quarters of an exciting segments of World of Sports. We've talked about the Giants. We talked about Aaron Rodgers. We talked about potential draft selections on draft day coming up here on Thursday. And now we get to something that we both are love is the NBA Finals, which are exciting. You look at these playoff games, oh my goodness, these are some exciting games. We got some parity finally in the NBA. The great teams that you think are going to blow teams away aren't blowing teams away. And Jimmy, what is it? Playoff Jimmy? Is that Playoff Jimmy Butler is rocking the house and taking it to the Milwaukee Bucks. Granted, you know, the Greek freak, Giannis isn't as healthy. He missed two games and may have helped Miami, you know, win those games. But
breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Before we talk about the other playoff series, this is one where nobody expected Miami, based off of their regular season performance and record, thought that they would be up 3-1 and have a chance to close out the Bucks on Wednesday night. What is going on?
Well, I didn't expect it either, because I thought that Milwaukee would walk through there maybe 4-0 or 4-1. But for them to be losing 3-1 now, it's going to test their playoff resolve. But what I like is that Miami plays great defense. They have a great point guard in Playoff Jimmy. And I think that him having 56 points the other day was one of the great performances in NBA playoff history. He's up there with Michael Jordan and different people like that. But I think that, you know, once you get confidence like Miami's beginning to get, Milwaukee's got to watch out.
Yeah, that's going to be an exciting series. I can't wait to watch the game. I don't know if Jimmy has 56 points in them, and they're back in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is tough at home. I know Miami stole a game there just this past week, but I don't know if they can do it twice in a row. But you heard what Stephen A. said. Miami is hard to play, and it's not because of the team. Miami is hard to beat when you're a visiting team coming into Miami. No matter what sport you play, it's hard to that Miami got a third player on their team, an extra person on their team, and that's not players. So you know what I'm talking about.
Well, what I'm gonna just break it down. See, any player who goes to Miami and goes through Ocean Avenue and sees the beautiful people, I'm gonna say it like that, right, walking down the street, the women are just incredible, the guys are incredible, great restaurants, a great atmosphere. It's easy to get lost in there and forget you got a game. You got to have discipline as a player to be able to go to Miami and stay in the hotel and don't do nothing. So that's why that's a great home field advantage.
You are not kidding. And hopefully that's not happening to Miami. I mean, to Milwaukee. And it's just because Giannis isn't on the court. But, Jimmy Butler had an amazing 56 points. Look at the other series. You look at even I know this wasn't they ended it, but look at Minnesota and Denver. Denver should have blown Minnesota away. They finally closed it out last night, but how about this? Before we get to the game, how about Minnesota probably could have taken them to at least six games, but the McDaniels kid broke his hand by punching a wall.
Well, see, that's why you have to have discipline as an athlete, because if you think about it, Charles, you get to the highest point you've ever been if you're a professional athlete. I mean, as far as mentally getting ready to play. And so for you to haul off and hit your hand against the wall because you're frustrated and then you break it, you not only hurt yourself, you're hurting your team. And this is when they need you the most. And that's why I think losing is something that everybody goes through. But that's when sportsmanship comes involved, because you're not just doing things for you. You're doing it for the organization, the team, and yourself. And for him to do that, I just thought was terrible.
Yeah, that was hard. And then you look at LeBron, you know, him, LeBron and Dylan Brooks saying LeBron is too small, old, and washed up. And LeBron, that last game he played the other night, my goodness, did he look like young LeBron. He's like, you think I'm old? Okay, I'm going to show you who's old over here. And they're up 3-1. They have a chance to close it out this week. I mean, what do you think the Lakers have a chance?
Absolutely, because you woke up a sleeping giant. And you know yourselves, by playing football, they always tell you to not be on the back wall of your opponent, not talk enough trash where they put it on the wall. Everybody looks at it, they get even more fired up than they already are. And I think that fired LeBron James up because down the stretch, he had his first 20-20 game, 20 points and 20 rebounds. And even though Anthony Davis didn't play well, LeBron led them to victory, played great defense. He took charging fouls at the end of the game. Some people say you only do that in the playoffs because you know you're hurting your body by doing it. But he has shown me something, and people say, well, Michael Jordan is the greatest, et cetera, et cetera. But if LeBron keeps doing this and wins another championship, which I don't know if he will or not, you got to say, man, he's got to be in the top echelon of NBA players.
Absolutely. I mean, he just put on. I mean, put his whole career in the spotlight this past week by having that type of game and showing people that don't disrespect me yet. As long as I'm still walking and able to run and put that ball in the hoop, I'm still legit. And you better respect the old man, arguably the GOAT of the NBA. So the next game I want to talk about, obviously, the Clippers and the Suns. Everybody's getting on Kawhi and Paul George because they can never stay healthy. They can never. How can you count on a guy? And we just talked about Kawhi being the man, like unstoppable, but he doesn't play with. And that's the biggest thing. How are you going to help your team get to the NBA Finals when you don't play?
Well, see, my problem is that, I grew up in San Antonio, Texas, and my dad had season tickets to the Spurs. And I watched the Spurs forever. I've always had them as one of my favorite teams with Popovich being a great coach. The reason they got rid of Kawhi is because he had a low ankle sprain and he stayed out almost 4 months. And you know yourself from having a bad ankle. I know I've had them. That you know, it doesn't take 4 months to get back. If you take the effort to work out twice a day, go to the training room and do everything you can do, even off the court and on the court, to get back to normal. I don't think he does that. And some NBA players think they don't want to get back until they're 100%. But your team needs you. I still think you can come back at 90% and still be effective, you know, play so many minutes and be a leader on that team. He doesn't have a personality at all. I mean, you very rarely see him smile or anything. And I think that's a tough one for any team to be able to deal with. I feel sorry for Ty Lue, the coach of the Clippers, because, you know, he's taking what's available. And his two superstars are not there when they need them.
Yeah, and having to trust Russell Westbrook to help you win a game at this stage of your career probably ain't good a sign for you winning any games. But the best series probably in the Western Conference is that Golden State Sacramento series.
Oh man!
Unfortunately, De'Aaron Fox he broke his hand, but they say he's still going to play. But that's going to be tough for them to beat the Golden State Warriors without De'Aaron Fox being their main guy.
Well, what's funny is that the coach of Sacramento, Mike Jones, was the coach of Cleveland when LeBron won his first championship. And he's very good. And they know Golden State because he was the coach there. And if Fox hadn't hurt his hand, I would definitely say they have a chance. But when they go back to Sacramento, they do have a chance. But my problem is I think maybe Golden State may be coming to the end of that dynasty. We won't know for a while because, you know, to be the champion, you got to kill them. And I think it's a fun series. I enjoy that type of basketball. A lot of movement. Devin, you don't know who's going to win or lose from shot to shot. And I agree with you. I think it's one of the best series in basketball. And I just, whoever comes out of there is going to have to play the Lakers. And if Lakers are just sitting back and getting rest, that doesn't do anything but help the Lakers.
That's right. But I'm curious. I'll be happy to have a conversation about that Lakers series because either team, Sacramento or Golden State, poses different unique challenges to the Lakers and their ability to stop that running game that both teams have. Now let's switch back to the East. We want to obviously Philly, my team, close it out against you, Brooklyn, Nick, the Brooklyn Nets. That was easy. The big story out of the Brooklyn series and Sixer series is Joel Embiid is hurt again. Fortunately, Ice Trey gave him a little bit of extra rest by beating the Boston Celtics when no one thought that they could win. The series is now 3-2. Celtics have a chance to close it out on Thursday this week. What do you think about that series, the Atlanta and Boston series?
Well, I have been shocked that Atlanta won two games. And the way they won with Trae Young hitting a game winner from damn near half court. I mean, just what I was thinking about, Charles, is that if he had missed that, I would have been mad because he even took the shot. And to have that kind of ice in your veins, you got to give him credit. And he's an up-and-coming ball player in the NBA, and I think he may be around for a long time because he puts on a show.
Yeah, he does. And they didn't have – obviously, DeJounte Murray was out during that game because he was suspended for bumping the referee. I think Boston didn't come out ready to play. They were like sleepwalking the whole game. Like, why are we playing? It's like playing your little brother. And like, why am I here? I gotta beat this dude. I can beat this dude with my eyes closed. And that's what happened a couple years ago when Atlanta beat Philly in the second round because Philly didn't take them seriously. They slept up on them. Atlanta tied the series at 3-3, and they go back to Philly and they have an amazing game, and they beat the Sixers when they shouldn't have beat the Sixers in the second round. I think if the Celtics, mark my words, if the Celtics don't close it out tomorrow night on Thursday, they may have a chance to do the same thing they did to the Sixers in the second round last year. So that's something to watch. The next series is your Knicks and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Come on, Cleveland is down 3-1. What is going on?
And they don't look good. Is it the Knicks, the defense, or is it just the Cavs are not playing well? But Mitchell is a great point guard who they probably should have been in New York. But the guy, Jalen Brunson for the Knicks, I'm telling you, Dallas with Mark Cuban, they got to be crazy for getting rid of him as a point guard. That's all the Knicks needed was a point guard. But the thing that makes me mad is Julian Randle, because you know they won the game the other day. He wouldn't speak to the press, and he did not have a good game at all. As a matter of fact, I was checking out the game, Charles. I was thinking, is Julian here today? Did he come? Because he didn't show up at all. And this is the second time in a row where in the playoffs he did not respond. This is when people judge your game is in the playoffs, because that's when all the highlights, all the stations come out. And But anyway, the Knicks got a chance. I've been listening to New York radio and television just like you have, and people think the Knicks can get to the championship. It must be crazy.
But hey, and that next series, it could be the New York Knicks and the Miami Heat, and the Knicks will have a home court advantage.
Oh my goodness!
So imagine that in your next round of the playoffs. If I'm a Knicks fan, I'm excited because I think the Knicks have the length to stop the Miami Heat. They got bigger, more athletic players to guard Jimmy Butler. Yep. He doesn't like size in his face, right? Yep. And so if you can guard Jimmy Butler one-on-one, I think you take him out the game. I think the Knicks play a much more physical game thanks to Thibodeau, and they really do have a chance to make it to the Eastern Conference Championship game.
And one of the things that kind of irks me, I guess, is that Thibodeau sometimes he's been known to work the heck out of his players and they don't come in well rested. If he can modify that and make sure the players are well rested, give them a little time out. You don't have to run them to death in practice. If he can do that and not be such a tyrant, I think the Knicks can do good on that. And I wanted to ask you, Charles, if Joel Embiid by the Boston losing to Atlanta, that gives him two or three more days to get ready. And if he gets ready and he comes in at least close to 100%, I think Philly has a chance for the Eastern Finals.
I'm excited about that. I think whoever they play is going to be tough. I think they got the right people around. PJ Tucker has brought toughness to that team and some seriousness to that team. And I think if because of him and because of the way he has them locked in and focused, they really do may have a chance to make finally get out of the second round and make it to an Eastern Conference final.
Well, my only thing is Harden, because my sisters have season tickets to the Rockets when he played in Houston, and he rarely does good in the playoffs. And if he can step his game up, at least know who to get the ball to in certain situations, he's going to be instrumental in helping Philly. But if he goes back to that Hardaway guy, Harden, who misses shots, turns the ball over, then I think it's going to be a tough situation for Philly. But all this is big time fun. This is probably the funnest time of the year. NBA action, the NFL is always in the news, and this is just, that's what sports is all about.
That's right. And can't dismiss NHL hockey, NHL playoff hockey, because that's probably the only time I would probably watch hockey, because that's the most exciting time of the year. Is playoff hockey is exciting. It's better than, way better than regular season for some reason.
Oh, yes, it is. And to not know who's going to win, and the Ranger fans are going crazy, the Devil fans. The Islanders have a new stadium out there in Long Island. I go past it sometimes, and it's state of the art. So I just think that this is a great time of year. I'm anxious to see who comes out. Usually I can tell the Golden State's going to win the championship, but this year I don't have an idea who's going to win the NBA championship. It all depends on who's around at the end, who doesn't get hurt. So it's going to be a fun thing.
Absolutely. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what happens next week.
Anyway, you've been listening to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We're here each and every week talking the world of sports. We always have a third quarter where we come up with a subject matter to discuss. Today, we're talking about who's the toughest fan base in New York, and we disagreed on that also. So don't forget, have a great week, everybody. Thank you, Ben, at the studio for taking care of us, making us sound good. For Charles, Show Me the Way, I'm Billy Taylor. Have a nice day, everybody.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.